Not yet done, Death circled its bony finger, then jabbed it gleefully between the eyes of one J. Clarence Branson, the 50-year-old co-president of Branson Tools and Toys. He'd been rich, single, and successful. A jolly man, with reason to be as co-owner of a major interplanetary corporation. A second son, and the third generation of Bransons to provide the world and its satellites with implements and amusements, he'd lived lavishly, and had died the same way. J. Clarence's heart had been skewered with one of his own multi-power portadrills by his steely-eyed mistress, who'd bolted him to the wall with it, reported the incident to the police, then had calmly sat sipping claret until the first officers arrived on scene. She continued to sip her drink, settled cozily in a high-backed chair in front of a computer-generated fire, while Lieutenant Eve Dallas examined the body. "He's absolutely dead," she coolly informed Eve. Her name was Lisbeth Cook, and she made her living as an advertising executive in her deceased lover's company. She was 40, sleekly attractive, and very good at her job. "The Branson 8000 is an excellent product, designed to satisfy both the professional and hobbyist. It's very powerful and accurate." "Uh-huh." Eve scanned the victim's face. Pampered and handsome, even though death had etched a look of stunned and sorrowful surprise on his face. Blood soaked through the breast of his blue velvet dressing gown and puddled glossily on the floor. "Sure did the job here. Read Ms. Cook her rights, Peabody." While her aide attended to the matter, Eve verified time and cause of death for the record. Even with the voluntary confession, the business of murder would follow routine. The weapon would be taken into evidence, the body transported and autopsied, the scene secured. Gesturing to the crime scene team to take over, Eve crossed the royal red carpet, sat across from Lisbeth in front of the chirpy fire that blew out lush heat and light. She said nothing for a moment, waiting several beats to see what reaction she might get from the fashionable brunette with fresh blood splattered somehow gaily on her yellow silk jumpsuit. She got nothing but a politely inquiring stare. "So, you want to tell me about it?" "He was cheating on me," Lisbeth said flatly. "I killed him." Eve studied the steady green eyes, saw anger, but no shock or remorse. "Did you argue?" "We had a few words." Lisbeth lifted her claret to full lips, painted the same rich tone as the wine. "Most of them mine. J.C. was weak-minded." She shrugged her shoulders and silk rustled. "I accepted that. Even found it endearing in many ways. But we had an arrangement. I gave him 3 years of my life." Now she leaned forward, eyes snapping with the temper behind the chill. 3 years, during which time I could have pursued other interests, other arrangements, other relationships. But I was faithful. He was not. She drew in a breath, leaned back again, very nearly smiled. "Now he's dead." "Yeah, we got that part." Eve heard the ugly suck and scrape as the team struggled to remove the long steel spike from flesh and bone. "Did you bring the drill with you, Ms. Cook, with the intention of using it as a weapon?" "No, it's J.C.'s. He putters occasionally." "He must have been puttering," she mused with a casual glance toward the body the crime scene team was now removing from the wall in a ghastly ballet of movements. "I saw it there, on the table, and thought, well, that's just perfect, isn't it? So I picked it up, flicked it on, and used it." "It didn't get much simpler," Eve mused, and rose. "Ms. Cook, these officers will take you down to Cop Central. I'll have some more questions for you." Obligingly, Lisbeth swallowed the last of the claret, then set the glass aside. "I'll just get my coat." Peabody shook her head as Lisbeth tossed a full-length black mink over her bloody silks and swept out between two uniforms with all the panache of a woman heading out to the next heady social engagement. "Man, it takes all